You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hey, Mom!
Look, Mom, no hands. Get the fan on your smart speaker.
We want it now!
Just say, play WFAN.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, here we go. It's 5:02. He is a Superman himself. It's the Eddie Scazzeri. Nice to see you. Usually, I look across and I see someone with a pencil neck. He weighs about 140 pounds soaking wet. He's got glasses. He hates sports, but he continues to show up at work every day. Not today. The dude actually took my advice, and he is homesick. Al Dukes, enjoy your time off. Boomer is out today as well. But in for himself is Christopher Jacob Lopresti. What's up?
Maybe I can lend Al some of my weight because I don't have a pencil neck and
wouldn't
I don't weigh 140
pounds. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could suck the fat out and then inject it into other people?
It's getting
that need
bad.
It?
I really need to do something about it.
Exercise helps.
Yes, that would be good. But, and, you know, with young kids, it's difficult sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Pizza's a problem. Pizza
yeah,
and bagels.
I like pizza. I do.
Pasta? Pasta guy?
Yeah. Carbs. Yep.
You know what doesn't help either? He's got his Ranger hat on today. What also doesn't help is staying up till 10:15 on a night you've got to get up at 2:50, whatever. You got to get, what time you get up? 2:30?
I got up at 2 this morning.
Right. What time did you go to bed? 11?
Jeez, I just jacked my headphones.
Hello.
I think I fell asleep at about 11:30.
Okay, 11:30. So you slept 2.5 hours,
yeah.
About I would say an hour less than I slept, which is not good either. Cortisol, not good.
I don't even know what that is.
I believe cortisol levels are what gets all screwed up when you don't sleep.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'm sure someone on Twitter is yelling at me. It's probably not right, but you get the point. That having been said, he's got his Ranger hat on. Now, we sat here yesterday for five hours, actually, and talked a lot about the Rangers and what kind of heart they would show and what kind of effort they would give. And I'll tell you this, and I did not see the first period. I was out. My son had a baseball game, and I look at my phone. I get in the car, and it's 2-0 Pittsburgh.
In the second, yes.
I'm like, oh, boy.
I felt the same way.
Like, you got to be kidding. And lo and behold, here come the. And I'll say this before I let Chris basically just rant about the Rangers in a good way. If I go back to, I want to say it was, I should have checked, but 1985 or 1986.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not doing a Sal Licata here on you. I'm not going to get all depressed about how old we are. And that 1985 was 37.
How long ago things were.
Oh my God, 37 years ago. I think it was 85 or 86. I forget. One of my first hockey experiences was my dad taking me and my brother and my mom to see the Rangers and Capitals in the Patrick Division playoffs or whatever the hell it was.
Sure.
And I remember Madison Square Garden being, I had been to the Meadowlands for Net games. I had been to baseball games, Mets and Yankees. I had been to even a Knick game or two at that point and plenty of Devil games. The noise and the energy, and I've never forgotten it now, 30-something years later, the noise and the energy that I felt at Madison Square Garden that night is something I think I will take to my grave. I've never forgotten it. And last night, when you get that 3-goal barrage, it was awesome.
Yes.
And it came through the TV.
Let me applaud
the Ranger fan.
It always does.
Because that was tremendous last night.
And there have been some of those in various playoff series along the way. I mean, heck, they showed some of the highlights, I think, on MSG last night before the game. You know, the fact that they've come back in not too distant history, twice. They were 3-1 down against the Penguins once, 3-1 down against the Capitals once, and, you know, a couple overtime wins. So, yeah, I have said many times now, and this might sound like over-exaggeration, but I really don't think it is. Madison Square Garden, specifically for a Rangers playoff game, is my favorite place on the earth, on the planet. And that's, for me,
yeah,
being
no,
a
I
big Ranger fan, yeah. I can take it to that level. But it's always that way, whether you're watching on TV, and you're right, it does come through, or whether you actually have the privilege of being in the building like Sal did last night and for all the home games so far in this series. It is awesome. It is electric. And I'm sure there'll be fans of other teams that say it's just as loud in other buildings. That's fine. I won't argue that. But there's something about the building, the history, New York, and the fact that the Rangers haven't had a lot of playoff success over the years. Yes, in the last 10 or 15 years, they've won a bunch of series, but obviously won Stanley Cup since 1940. You have a starved, hungry, passionate fan base. Whereas for me, who grew up a Yankee and a Giant fan, it's easy to be more passionate about the Rangers because I've seen so much success for the Yankees. I've seen a couple of Super Bowls for the Giants. For the Rangers, I was 8 when they won the Cup. I was into it. I remember a lot of it, and I've watched the highlights over and over and over again. I've committed them to memory. Yeah. I could basically rattle them off in my sleep. But there hasn't been a lot, so every time this opportunity comes, I don't take it for granted.
Now, we have been to many stadiums, many arenas, and this is, I guess, my point. The closest thing, I think, that I have ever felt to a Ranger playoff game at Madison Square Garden, I've been to a lot of them. I've been to maybe 3 or 4 playoff games at the Garden
for
the Rangers.
When was the last one?
Oh,
if
man.
If you had to guess, is it pre-Henrik Lundqvist?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're going back a ways then.
It was in the Beningo years.
All right. Probably in the late 90s then. Yes?
Yeah, I would say that was because when I worked with Joe overnight as a producer and then as an anchor, mm-hmm. we used to, no joke, and this is not an exaggeration, Sunday nights was nothing. We would always just come in and do the show. And Thursday nights, usually we just did the show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of every week, we split time at the Garden for the Knicks, the Rangers, and we went to Joe and I went to a lot of Net games in the Meadowlands. And I would say, out of however many weeks you work, let's say we were there together 47 weeks out of the year, I would say 30 of them, all 3 nights we were somewhere.
That's very cool.
And when the playoffs came, I mean, not for nothing, but the 99 Knick playoff run, we were at, until I got married, we were at almost every Knick home playoff game, almost every one.
And let me not.
So it's probably about that time.
When we talk about the Garden, I don't want to discount or discredit the Knick fans even more so than the Rangers. Like, they are so starved and hungry.
Yes, but the Ranger crowd, it's just different to me. And that building is loud.
The game's different, too.
It is different. Yeah. The crowd's different. And the Knick, listen, the Knick fan and that building is loud for the Knicks, too. I am not disputing that. There's nothing like a Ranger crowd. Now, the closest I ever got to it, when I think at all the places I've been to a lot of arenas, a lot of stadiums, is if I go back and I was there covering the Nets in 2001 or 2, whatever it was, Boston Garden, TD Bank Garden, whatever was, the Jason Kidd days when the Nets blew that 25-point lead, that fourth quarter, you thought the roof was going to blow off the place.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing I've ever experienced to a Ranger, that is specifically the one I'm talking about in the mid-80s, Rangers Capitals. It's like nothing I've ever experienced. And I get the sense last night was something like that, especially as they come back. You know, they get that third goal. Like, just this is the credit to the Rangers, too, because you get the third goal, and 13 seconds later, you give it right back.
Yeah.
But you come out and you win the damn game.
Yes.
So.
And honestly, sometimes you mentioned the crowd, and the anticipation builds because for the first almost 2 periods, because it was late in the second period when they got
absolutely.
The first, there was nothing.
Right.
And I'm watching, and they go down 2-0, and I'm just, there was no surge. You know, you see it in NBA, it's runs. In the NHL, it's surges, and you see it. You saw it from the Rangers on the road in Pittsburgh in Game 3, where they're down 4-1, and then all of a sudden, something clicks, and they tie the game up. Obviously, they lost, and you were waiting for that last night, and it seemed like it wasn't coming, and all of a sudden, Adam Fox makes a play just inside the blue line, little stick maneuver, a goal through traffic, and then that's it.
The puck.
You could see right then, immediately after that, the momentum change. Obviously, Crosby going out of the game was a huge deal. But,
which we'll get to in the next segment.
But really, I mean,
I thought Kako's pass.
Yes. The Kidd line was the only good line in Game 4 the other night. And they were excellent again last night. And I think the reason why, and, you know, I've had people ask me, hey, Kako and Lafreniere, you know, number one, number two. And I'm like, yeah, they're solid players, but they haven't really taken off. They're not like a superstar the way Crosby is. But they're really good hockey players. And they play more of that straight ahead, forecheck, below the hashes game, which is what you need in the playoffs and what their top skill guys aren't comfortable doing. And all of a sudden, the last couple of games, I think Gerard Gallant is seeing that he's got something with that group, Filipino included, who ends up scoring the game winner.
Yeah.
And they have taken it to Pittsburgh, and they have actually controlled the puck in the offensive zone. They've played down low. You mentioned Kako's pass and Jacob Trouba pinching in, and all of a sudden, Kako's got the puck behind the net. A little bit of a defensive collapse. Lafreniere is left alone in front. Tic-tac-toe, bang, it's in the net. Tie game, and the place is going berserk.
You also had on the Hedl goal, which was reminiscent to me of the last game where the Rangers looked like they didn't know what the hell they were doing defensively.
Yeah.
You had three Penguins all within 5 feet of one another. Clearly, someone wasn't supposed to be in that spot, and that freed him up.
Yes, and I think it was Vetrano that made a play there. And
it was tremendous, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the moves that they made, the guys that they picked up, I mean, it's hard to argue with. You know, Andrew Copps had an impact on this series. They're missing Tyler Motte, who got hurt, but certainly Vetrano. I mean, I like the mix of players. It's just that Mika Zibanejad has been a complete no-show in this series. Panarin's had some production, but when you watch him play, you can tell he's not really comfortable going to those greasy grits. It's not his game, and I understand that. So they needed some guys to step up, and it's funny that you talk about experience, and the Penguins are so experienced, and it's the young guys that have really given them a bit of a jolt here. Now, what does it mean going into Game 6? Nothing. People talk about momentum carrying over from game to game. It doesn't happen as much in the Stanley Cup playoffs for whatever reason.
But I think the momentum for the goalie can carry over. To me, and we've
talked
about this.
I mean,
it's like the pitching.
Through two periods, again, and I said it after the second period, after Shesterkin gives up, as you said, right after they go ahead, they give up a goal right away where he misplays a puck. His puck handling is a big part of his game.
Zone, right.
And he gave it away and didn't really get back into position, and bang, it's in the back of the net. And I said, he just looks like he's in an extended fog is the way it looked to me. And a lot of people have made the point, oh, he took that hit late at the end of game two. I didn't make much of that. It looked to me like he sold it a little bit.
You think?
I did. And then, oh, the crowd in Pittsburgh. I don't buy that either. I honestly think he is exhausted. He's made the point before the series, this is the most he's played in a single season in his life. And he makes 79 saves in a triple overtime game in game one that they lose. I don't think he's quite recovered from that, but what he was able to do was come out in the third period and look more like himself, and he did make some key saves in the third period. Obviously, Pittsburgh didn't score, and yeah, you hope he can carry that over, but it's not just him. You know, it's the defensive effort, which I thought was better last night, and I think that's part of the reason why it took them a while to get going offensively. They were focused on trying to be more responsible in their own end. They still end up behind, so fortunately, you know, Fox is able to get one in, and it kind of kickstarted everything after that. But what does it mean going into the game? I have no idea.
You don't know.
Because
no
look
idea.
At last night. You know, you think they're going to come out strong.
And what
the
they do in game four? They took the lead early,
right.
And you thought, all right, here you go, and they got run over.
And last night you'd figure they're going to come out, you know, Pittsburgh's got to withstand the early.
Yeah.
And Rangers are going to come out flying, and what do? They get called for two penalties on the openings in the opening half minute.
Yeah.
They're down 5-on-3. Now, they killed it off. And you would have thought maybe they'd built some momentum from that, but it's sort of like they're on their heels right away. And all it's like you want to come out emotional, aggressive, physical. You get called for a couple penalties, and you think, wait a minute, I better slow it down a little bit. I thought one was legit. Trouba definitely got an elbow up, and then he ends up being the one that lays out Crosby. We'll get to that. The other one on Kreider I thought was a little weak, considering they'd already called a penalty on that sequence. So they were able to kill it off, but it's sort of like all that.
Takes
not,
a lot.
Not momentum, but just the emotion and the anticipation.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked it right out of the building, at least to start.
Real quick, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about Crosby and Trouba and all that. The one thing I would say about Shesterkin last night, and I know what you're saying in terms of, you know, not great through the first two,
yeah.
But solid. Two of those goals, one, his stick handling. Okay, fine. And you see that all the time. When a goalie mishandles the puck, a lot of times by giving that extra possession.
Yeah, it leads to trouble.
100%. The other was the other goal he lets in, one of the other two. And I forget it's the first or second. He makes the initial save, and you throw the puck off his skate.
Yes. The only thing I'd say about that, and this is what I meant by saying he looks like he's in a bit of a fog. He makes this. Usually his reaction time is sensational. He's very acrobatic. He's very flexible. He's very athletic. And he makes the save, and he was kind of like slow. He was slow to find the rebound and then slow to get back into position, and that's why
Fair.
They were able to bank it
Still
in.
Still fluky,
now,
though.
You could, yes, and you can make the point, hey, where's the defense to tie up a stick? I'm with you on all that. So I'm not laying it all at his feet. He needs help around him. But having watched and knowing what he's capable of when he's at the height of his game, he just looks a tick slow to me. Now, the second goal, listen, they give up a 2-on-1. Malkin makes a great pass. Letang one time.
He actually got a piece of it.
I was just more so watching his movements and his reaction time just seemed to be dulled a little bit, almost like a guy with a bit of a hangover, you know? And
it's
that's
possible.
Why I go back to game, you know, it's...
Yeah.
For a guy that hasn't played a lot of hockey and to carry them the way he did in game one and then to lose and just the deflation of that. Now, we're, what, a week and change removed from that? You'd think it's time to move on. But I think the combination of playing a lot during the season, playing at the level and the height that he did, and then having game one go the way it did, I mean, a little bit of a delayed reaction coming out of that. Hopefully he can kick it in gear and find that next level because they're certainly going to need it game six on Friday night.
All right, when we come back, we will get to Trouba and Crosby. We'll also get to the Yankees who just keep humming along.
Yeah.
And at some point the Mets too. And who knows, maybe a call or two. You never know. Warm-up show till 6. G joins us then on The Fan.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You know, it's fun.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You play the taco thing because we were supposed to do Zucker's this week, thinking of food. But no Boomer, no Al, right? Probably next week?
Yeah. Right. Guys are out sick, not feeling well.
I know. And God knows if this is going to trickle down to us now. So far, so good.
Dude, I feel like I'm surrounded by it. My oldest left school yesterday, stomach bug, throwing up all over the place.
That's
probably one
terrible.
Of those 24-hour deals. I was actually on my hands and knees cleaning up his puke in the bathroom, watching the Rangers on the phone as Filipino scored to put them up 4-3.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I felt bad for him. He didn't quite make it to the bowl.
Yeah, no, I've been there.
And he found every crevice, not on purpose, but every nook and cranny in the bathroom you could imagine. So I've got the Clorox wipes out.
It's good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, being a parent.
Not to get too graphic.
So we spent the first 15 minutes lauding the Rangers' effort last night, the crowd, all of that stuff. So a couple minutes here on this Jacob Trouba hit on Sidney Crosby. Now, I G came in, and you understand people in Pittsburgh are going to be angry with
sure.
it. The Ranger fans, I heard Sal basically saying, suck it up, it's hockey.
Well, Sal's,
nuts the other way. Totally understood.
Killing the officials. How could you start with a 5-on-3? I mean, one of them was a legit penalty.
Understood.
Sorry, Trouba threw an elbow on the first shift. It's a penalty.
Here's my take on it. I get the whole elbow part. Fair, got it. Okay, great. If you watch that replay, Trouba's stick, as he's approaching Crosby, goes under the skate of Crosby and lowers his level. It just does. To where when he throws the elbow and hits him, that to me is a shoulder hit, not where it ended up.
Yeah.
All because of where the stick ended up and because of where Crosby kind of fell a few inches below where he was.
Yes.
I don't think it's a big... It looks bad, but it's funny, too. In real time, it looked like nothing.
Well, that's the key. We watch these slow...
But the replay is also where I see the stick hit the skate.
I know. We watch the super slow-mos, and we forget the fact that this is happening in real time at a high speed. Now, what I'd say is I think the end result looks bad because as he finishes the check, there's an elevation, not just of his body, but the elbow as well.
The old chicken wing.
Right. So I'm not knocking him. I mean, again, it's all happening at lightning fast speed. It's not away from the play. Crosby's got the puck. He had his head down for a second. You know, Crosby had laid out Adam Fox earlier in the game when he had his head down.
It crushed him.
It was a physical game. There were a bunch of collisions, actually, just inside the blue line. Even Evgeny Malkin and a teammate had a collision where they were down for a little bit. Andrew Kopp and Jake Guentzel had a big collision. It was more of a physical hockey game. But I don't think it was predatory. I don't think he was trying to line him up. I don't think he was headhunting or anything like that. My take on it is this. If Crosby's going to miss game six, which right now they want you to believe it's possible, who the heck knows? If he's going to miss game six.
And he tried to come back in last night.
And he, if I'm not mistaken, in the past had issues with concussions.
Yes.
I'd have to check
on that.
I believe that is true. So, I mean, who knows? But where they're at in the series, home game for Pittsburgh, game six, Rangers back in the series, it would not be unlike the NHL to go eye for an eye and say, all right, if Crosby's going to miss the game, Trouba's going to get a one-game suspension. I would not be shocked. It's not to say I believe it was intentional or that it's a dirty hit. Obviously, they didn't call a penalty on the play.
If it's not Sidney Crosby, is there a one-game suspension?
Probably not.
If that happens.
And you can say that's ridiculous and it shouldn't be done that way.
No, they want their stars out there,
but this is what happens.
Yeah.
And if the rain, and if you know, if it happened to, let's say, Artemi Panarin for the Rangers or Zibanejad, even though he hasn't had a great series, people would be upset.
I just think this is one of those plays, much like in the NFL when you lower your head.
Yeah.
I mean, in
what
a
can you
fraction
do?
Of a second.
Right.
It's like we sit here and we rewind, play, stop, slow it down, pause it. The game's not played that way, and it's so fast and so violent.
I agree. And to me, again, I don't think the suspension would be to, you know, paint Jacob Trouba with a scarlet letter and say, hey, he's a dirty player and you're building a reputation. What I will say is he's a physical player who does look to line guys up who have their head down. I don't mean that in a negative way. I've seen him catch some guys clean and cold throughout the course of the season where they were totally unexpecting, you know, not expecting a hit, and he popped them good.
I think
he's knocked some guys out of the game. So it's not to say that there's a reputation or that it's on purpose. Unfortunately, when you play that way, and I wanted the Rangers to be more physical, and they were again last night. They've been more physical at home than they have been on the road.
And need to be.
But the more instances where you're having these collisions, the more chance there is for the opponent to get hurt, or like you said, for there to be a fraction of a second move or shift, or, hey, I didn't mean to get the guy's head, but I did. Stuff happens, and when it's Sidney Crosby, the league's going to pay attention.
I think intent is everything, and when something happens like last night, like if you tell me his level doesn't shift at all, and he goes headhunting, I'm with you.
And that's what you saw from him on the first shift. I forget which guy it was, but he went after a guy on the boards and clearly got the elbow up to the head. It was an obvious penalty. Again, they ended up 5-on-3. Kreider got called for a slash, which I didn't really see much of, but you know, Trouba right out of the gate last night was trying to be physical and establish the tone, and he got himself in the penalty box. They were able to kill it off. That's just the way, when he's going right, it's the way he plays. He kind of plays on that edge a little bit, which is great. It's just sometimes it might backfire a little bit. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Crosby will play. But I'm not surprised it's going to turn into a talking point between now and when they drop the puck
on
Friday
night.
No, it kind of has to. Yeah, of course.
Because of who it is.
Yes.
And I understand that. That makes sense. But I don't. If a suspension comes, I don't care for that.
I understand. It's not so much that I'm saying I think it would be the right thing. It's just looking at the way these things have gone in the past.
You're looking at the track record of the league.
I've seen it happen. It's Crosby. It's high profile. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. That's what I'd say.
Before we turn to the Yankees, I'm going to do this. 877-337-6666. Two calls for the two wins the Rangers have. Two calls. if no one calls.
And the two wins they need.
And we get crickets. So while hopefully two people call, and if not, so be it, you tell me, and then we're going to take a break and we're going to do the Yankees. You tell me what you expect. Let's do it on this. Let's do it on the assumption that Crosby play. Give me two scenarios.
Okay.
Crosby plays one. Two, he doesn't play. And I'm not asking you for a result.
Yeah. What do the Rangers need to do?
Yes. Correct.
If he plays, and again, even when he goes out last night, Jake Guentzel is a major problem. He's got 7 goals in 5 games. Some of them have been out of the fluky variety, but the puck's finding him. And my biggest knock on the Rangers, not as much last night as in the earlier game, there's just been too much open ice for the skill players for the Penguins. And that line with Crosby or without Crosby has been incredible. And they have to find a way to slow that down. And obviously when Pittsburgh's playing at home, they're going to have the emotion working in their favor, you know, the juice. You see with the Rangers when they play at home. So you have to expect that and be ready for that out of the gate on Friday night. Now, if Crosby doesn't play and Evgeny Malkin elevates and centers that line, and he played an excellent game last night. Malkin was a couple of beautiful setups, 2 assists that led to goals. The one thing with Malkin, and this has been noted on the national broadcast, on MSG, anyone who's watched the Penguins over the years, you can get under his skin. Now, do the Rangers have an agitator that can really do that? Maybe a guy like Ryan Reeves, who doesn't see a lot of ice time because of the nature of the player he is and doesn't have a lot of speed and can't keep up with some of these guys. But if Malkin steps in for Crosby as the first line center, my goal would be to try and get under his skin because he will take penalties. You saw it last night. Late in the things got nasty in the third period. Guentzel took a bad penalty too. Punched somebody's head behind the play, and the ref saw it. So I've seen this happen before in the Rangers. I think back to when they played the Thrashers in like 2007, and Ilya Kovalchuk, who you might remember from his Devils years, was the best player on the one of the best players in the league, and Sean Avery completely took him out of that series. So the Rangers need to do everything possible, obviously facing elimination, to find a way. So if Crosby's out, and would be a huge loss, the next assignment, the next goal needs to be and try and take Evgeny Malkin out of the game mentally.
All right, Mike and Ronkonkoma, you're first up. Go. Mike.
Oh, boy.
Huh. Oh,
all for right. One.
All right. No, Mike. Leo and Manahawkin, you're up. Go. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about the Yankees because they just keep rolling. You guys screwed that up. Jeez. Yankee baseball next as they keep rolling right along. Yay. Rangers now down 3-2 with their win last night over the Penguins, and the Mets with a complete dud in Washington. All of that. Oh, and by the way, the NFL schedule gets released tonight. All of that and more coming up on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up, top of the hour to join us. Boomer's out today. Alan's out today. But myself, CeeLo, and Eddie, and Fliegelman, we're all here. So we will take you through the morning. We spent the first 35 minutes on the Rangers, and to me, rightly so.
Let's go.
The next part is going to be baseball. And if we have some time, some hoops as well. Not only just the Nets stuff, but the Celtic game last night was crazy. And these Grizzlies without Ja Morant is fascinating to me.
It was 103-56 at one point.
It was the best tweet I saw was Mike Brown is coaching like he's already running the Kings, which is kind of funny.
Well, Steph said that thing the other night. What did he say? When they had a poor shooting night, and he said, it was like we became the Kings overnight or something like that.
Well, slowly they morphed into that because that's what they looked like last night. So if you're just waking up, the Warriors did lose to the Grizzlies big last night. These Yankees, I'll tell you, for a team that looked very average early on, they look like the best team in baseball right now. And doesn't mean they're going to be there at the end of the season, but through 30 games, if I would have told you before the season started, 22-8 and a 4 or 5 game lead atop the division, handling the Blue Jays, I'll be careful what I say, but to be fair, with ease.
6-3 so far?
They're really taking care of business.
Yep.
Their bullpen's been terrific.
The pitching
Their starting pitching's been great. Aaron Judge has been Aaron Judge. I mean, they look great. I mean, there's nothing to complain about with the Yankees.
You can't argue with the results and the record. I mean, they're on pace to win like 120 games, something ridiculous, which obviously we know they're not going to do. To me, it's been the pitching staff, top to bottom. The Orioles are the only team that scored 6 runs against them, I think, in one game.
Think about that.
So, I mean, like yesterday is a perfect example. Gleyber Torres has earned himself back a starting job. Would we agree right now?
Yep.
He's had some huge hits, some big games, spotty defensive.
It was the offense yesterday.
Right. So you think if you looked at his numbers, you would think like, he's killing it. He's batting .222.
No, but he's been good.
No, I know. It's been timely hitting in key spots, and you saw it again yesterday.
But that's the eye test more than just looking at the numbers.
Right. I have to remind myself, because I am a little old school and still look at batting average. I know it's not what it once was.
No, I do too.
Those numbers are down across the league. There are a few guys who have those prototypical, slash lines that you're used to seeing. You know, even a guy like Judge or Rizzo. Rizzo got off to a great start, and he's hitting like, what, .230 right now? Mm-hmm. He's come back down. So,
and yet still had some big hits this week.
Right. So that's what I mean. And that's where it's you have to sort of retrain your eyes when you're watching these games now, because you're going to see guys kind of just glide through the games and have awful at bats and go, 0-for-5 or 1-for-5. But that one hit could be the difference in the game, especially right now for the Yankees, because they don't need to score a lot of runs to win. They just need to score them at the right time, which is what they're doing.
Well, and that's it. And that's why. And I heard Sal coming in talking about this is great, but it's about October for them. And there's 100% he's right.
I totally agree with him on that.
But to your point, what's different for me watching them right now is exactly what you just said. You don't go into most games thinking they got to win 7-4, 7-5. You get the sense that the pitching is going to hold the opponent to 3 runs or less. I mean, that's how I feel watching them. I feel like every game is 3 runs or less, and the Yankees should be okay to score more. It's just pretty simple to me.
My only concern with the pitching would be, as we go along, if some of these guys will sort of regress to the mean a little bit, whether it be Tyone, whether it be Cortez. And then the other factor, which we see happen time and time again, the bullpen's great, but are they going to be taxed over the long run? Because they don't really have any starters that are working deep into games. I know really there are a few teams that have that, but my concern is when they get to the postseason, are their relievers still going to be in good shape to be effective and be dominant, or are they going to be burnt out?
Which are questions that will be answered as we go through the summer. But when you look at special teams through the years that put together special seasons, they're the ones that do that.
Yeah.
And we won't know if the Yankees are that until we get to August and September and then ultimately in October. But right now, I mean, I turn them on. I expect them to win every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that should be the case because they're the Yankees and because they have talent on the roster. I get it's maybe not. You broke the screen over there.
What are we doing?
Oh, boy. Anyway, did we think there was more they could have done in the offseason and that, man, penny pinching isn't the right word, but that maybe they're tightening the belt a little bit and they could have done more? Sure. But, and I, without even looking at the numbers, because I haven't, I can't tell you the answer to this. Of the big ticket free agents that signed for a lot of money, specifically at shortstop, are any of those guys having monster starts to the year? Am I missing one? I know Correa's on the IL right now. I feel like I haven't heard a ton about Seager. Marcus Semien, I think he's off to a dreadful start in Texas. Trevor Story is not hitting for Boston. Is there a guy I'm missing?
I agree with you, though. Numbers are pretty much down across the league, but I don't think anybody has exploded out the game.
Right, Yankee fans, they got to go get one of these guys. Who's this IKF guy? And he hasn't been great. He had a rough game defensively yesterday.
But he had a 2-week stretch where he was the best offensive guy in terms of getting on base.
Well, we heard he's going to be a great defender, and we haven't really seen that yet. He hasn't quite settled in defensively.
But I think we're spoiled, too, in that for years and years and years, we've expected the Yankees to go out and get the best players available.
Right.
You don't need a star at every position. They got plenty of stars.
Exactly.
They need to pitch.
Sometimes you go out and you pay for the best, but then they don't play as the best, and that's kind of what I'm saying.
But they've had timely hitting, they've had great pitching, and that's what wins you games. I don't care who's on your roster. If you do those two things, you're going to win a lot.
When we talk about, hey, let's see it in October, I think it's because you're talking about the quality of team they're going to be playing at that point, and more specifically, the quality of pitcher they're going to be facing. Because the Yankees as they go through these series in the regular season, more often than not, you're seeing a starting pitcher who's not a dominant guy. I want to see them against the Astros and see what they can do with Verlander.
Well, and that's why they have not won since 2009.
Right. So that's always my concern with them. I admit that I'm spoiled. Yeah, they're going to win, 88 to 95 games and get into the playoffs.
Every year.
But let's then when they get there, can this talented lineup do what they need to do and hit in those timely situations that we're talking about right now? Because it's going to be a different animal when you get to October.
At some point, they've got to run into another World Series. They're too good.
You would think, but
you would think
we were talking about these now. Right. Think about that. We talk. It feels like a lot more recent than it was. It's the years have gone by.
It's a long
2009 is a little bit away now, and it's one since 2000.
Mets had one of those throw up games last night. They score. It's funny because I said I was at my son's game for the first period of the Ranger game, so I'm trying to follow along with what's going on, and I see. I think it was a Met tweet. I think it was the Mets that tweeted. You know, like the bombs are flying, or
Alonzo,
we're erupting early. I'm thinking, look at the Mets, 3-0. Next time I go check. I see
5-3.
I'm like, whoa, like what the hell? So they have, Tyler McGill was terrible. I mean,
he was due for four outs. It was his first bad start of the season.
It is what it is. Go win today. Win the series. I want to read you something, though. This is funny. Now, I am telling you right now that this is phony. Almost got me.
I know. Me too. I know exactly where you're going.
I wish this was real.
I know.
I wish this was real.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, Giannotti tweeted out the Instagram post from Noah Syndergaard about, you know, this is what a real no-hitter looks like.
From
and
his
he's being
story,
a normal tool bag that he's been. Again, his mouth has been better than his arm for years. Mm-hmm. And he showed it again. Now, this is, not real, but damn it, it would be great if it was. I see someone send me a picture of Max Scherzer and a quote that says, in response to Syndergaard, quote, "If he wants, I can show him what a real ring looks like. Closest he'll get is the halo over his head."
And knowing Scherzer's mentality, for a second you thought maybe that's possible.
That got like 3,000 likes.
That's how it ended up on my timeline. And then there was like the fine print down at the bottom, blurry.
Oh, I don't know. Is that true?
Can you pull it up? And if you zoom in, I think you can see it says something like,
"Where am I looking?"
Well, maybe where you saw it was a little different.
Do you see it now? What Max Scherzer did not say this about Noah Syndergaard, as far as we know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I wish he did, though. I wish someone would say something like
that. And then, of course, you had Syndergaard, you know, after the fact, when SNY posted about it, saying like, "Oh, I wasn't talking
about the Met."
Well,
that's
where
he's a phony.
Right.
He's a complete and utter phony because he sat here like he was Mr. Met for years and Thor and all that crap.
Yeah.
And he couldn't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he opens his mouth with this nonsense and then doesn't even want to stand behind it.
Yeah. It's tough to take. I agree.
Well, he has been tough to take. So
he's on the other coast now.
And they're playing. And that's the funny thing about that comment is the Angels are really good.
Right.
So it's not like they won't have a chance when you look at Ohtani and Trout and Syndergaard, just to mention a couple of these guys. Plus, what's the kid's name? Ward? Is that the kid's name out there, too, who's had a good start to the season? So, like, they've been, you know, I know, I got you. They've been very good, like the Dodgers have been. And we were talking about the two coasts. Perhaps that's where the World Series comes from, in L.A., New York World Series, and maybe we can not get terrible ratings for the World Series years.
Ward, 367, 7 homers, 17. See, now there's a stat line that looks pretty good from the old days.
What I don't get, and I'm sure enough people will tell me on Twitter why it's so wrong these days to look at batting average, and I still believe that there's value in a batting average. There's tremendous value in runs scored and RBIs.
Of course.
All this other stuff, I don't know. That to me tells me what a player is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand people talk about OPS and on-base percentage because it's like if the on-base percentage is in good shape and the batting average isn't necessarily there, like I'm okay with that because you're still creating offensive situations,
sure.
Right? You're on base and that leads maybe to the run score that you mentioned. But it also depends where you're hitting in the lineup and what the team's relying on you for. Because if you got a great on-base percentage, but your batting average stinks and you're not driving in runs and you're a guy that hits in the middle of the order or gets paid to drive in runs, well, then it's kind of irrelevant.
I agree.
So you got to, I think, take it on a case-to-case basis. And sometimes I'm guilty of it. You just kind of put everybody in the same bucket and analyze them the same way based on one or two criteria, and that can be misleading.
It's just, it's gotten too much. I love the numbers. I do. I think the stats are great. Yeah. I mean, I do it for my little league team.
I've always been a stat guy.
I think it shows you a lot. I think we've gotten to the point, though, of complete overanalysis.
Yeah, there's too much.
It's way too much. And there's got to be some sense of a human being that's actually seeing what is happening on the field and making decisions. And that's why I think Met fans were so happy when they got Buck Showalter. All right, we'll take a quick break. A little bit of basketball on the other side. And then G joins us at 6 right now on Odyssey Sports Minute. It is JR. On the Golden State Warriors sucking basketballs last night, as Eddie somewhat wrote. We'll be right back.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, we got a couple more minutes. We get you to the top of the hour. G joins us as he is in studio in a few. Just quick on the basketball. We mentioned the Grizzlies winning last night, which is not only winning, just burying the Warriors. Also, the Celtics wasting that lead. Oh, well. And then the Kyrie Nets stuff is very intriguing.
We'll hear from Sean Marks on the program this morning.
The real Sean Marks?
The real, well, probably both.
Probably
I would
both.
Imagine. I always like, anytime Sean Marks speaks, I want to tee up G.
Now, what angle are you taking? Are you taking the Sean Marks Kyrie future angle, or are you taking the Kyrie Twitch angle?
I think we'll get to both, but as far as Sean Marks is concerned, it had nothing to do with Twitch. I think the Twitch thing was coincidental. I don't know that there's a connection, but because we're talking Kyrie, maybe we'll bring that up. Because Kyrie,
maybe
has
we'll
some
bring it up.
Interesting.
You have to bring it up.
Well, I only just moments ago I wasn't sure if it was legit or new. I thought maybe it was one of these old things that surfaced yesterday, but it was written about, so clearly it was a new thing from this week, and he had some interesting things.
Are you a gamer?
No.
Not at all.
I used to be. Only sports games, but I don't get involved with online.
So you don't do these things where you're talking to other people and you can't
I've never
be...
never done it.
Because my question would be, did he know he was being recorded?
I think he was live streaming himself. I think he put himself out there on Twitch.
Okay, so it was him doing it as opposed to someone else's Twitch account that ended up playing against Kyrie Irving.
What I read was he was, you know, broadcasting or streaming himself. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if you're on there and you're connected, you have to know that someone might, you know, record it.
He had some pointed comments.
Yes, he certainly did.
Which we will get to in a little while.
I'm going to have to cut those up and bleep quite a few things.
Last one, and then you get to get out of here and go get your makeup done.
Yeah.
NFL schedule tonight.
Finally.
Is this like, to me, I actually get more, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'm more into this than I am the draft.
I could see that.
The draft to me is a waste of time.
Yeah, and who the hell knows how the draft's going to turn out?
Absolutely.
The schedule is key.
Though, that to me tells me the football, and I hate to say this because summer hasn't started yet, but it means football's around the corner.
It's always around the
camps
corner.
Camps are going to start, not summer training camp, but all these mini camps are going to start.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start to get the real football news.
And especially
WFAN and WFAN-FM and HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.